Come on, let's give God some praise in this house. You can do better than that. Jesus is good. Amen, 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 amen. Wow. That's so good. Now I have 10 minutes to preach. That's not so good. But we're going to do the best we can. We're going to skip this first verse. You can read it later of Luke 6, 46. And we're going to go to James 1. And I want to talk to you today about being obedient. And what you just saw today is an act of obedience to God. That teased that up really well. It's because His scripture tells us that after we get saved, that we are to go make disciples. To go make disciples. And it's our responsibility to go make disciples. Sheep beget sheep. And we should be loving people, caring for them. And we have different opportunities and different ways of doing that. But it should be part of our heart to go make disciples. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Amen, amen. That is so good. And so James 1. So this is why we abandon every morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word. With a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word. How many brought their Bible with you to church today? Hold your Bible up if you brought church with you today. Come on. Now, I'm just going to say this. If you brought your Bible on your phone, hold your phone up. I'm okay with the technology. I'm okay with that. No problem. I'm not just talking about this. All right? I'm not really caring where you read your Bible from. I have little markers in my Bible and I like to write in my Bible, and I know that you can even do that on a phone. You can highlight and do all that and make notes. So what I want to know is, are you absorbing this word of God in your life? Because everything that I'm going to speak about today absolutely is nil if you're not in the word. Because how can you be obedient to what you do not know? It's a little difficult for us to tell our children to be obedient to something we haven't told them. Like, you're just supposed to know that. You were born one day and, you know, you're supposed to know that. You know, you never have to teach a kid to lie. They come with lying on board. They know how to do that, right? As soon as they learn how to talk, they learn how to lie. They know how to do that. We have to teach them not to lie. Can I get a better amen? And so we teach them, and so the Word of God teaches us. But we need to be like a sponge, but maybe not like a sponge, because sometimes a sponge just draws it all up, but we need to be poured out as well. And you really can never absorb the goodness of God until you let this Word of God collect the things of the Spirit, put them in our heart, and then deposit them into other people. I've seen people that have a great degree of theological understanding but never pour it out. They become as stagnant as people who do not receive. Now, that wasn't in my notes, but that's a good word. We're not just taking it in for ourselves. We're taking it in to be poured out. That's so good. Which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. Come on. Let it be like poetry written and then acted out in your life. That is so good. If you listen to the word and you don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of his word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by the response to the truth they hear, and they are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all they do. If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his word, then his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty. True spirituality that is pure in the eyes of the Father God is to make a difference in the lives of the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. Everything that the Lord puts in us, every word that he hides in our heart, is not only so that we do not sin, although that is very good. It's so that we can lead others to truth. And I love that somebody said in the video, I believe it was Katie, said, you don't have to preach to know how to preach to be a light to the world. The light that shines in us is this glowing revelation of our relationship with God that comes through not just having an experience in a church service, but our daily walk with him and absorbing the word of God in our life, and then it begins to reflect to those around us. And it's unmistakable. It's unmistakable. Last week we talked about being faithful to God, and let me remind you that it is not possible to be truly faithful to God by our own self-will or discipline. We're faithful to God by the power of our faith and the written word, and we choose to surrender our life to obey. And I want to say that again. We choose to surrender our life to obey. I heard Bob Gladstone speaking yesterday, and he said, our faithfulness comes out of the place of surrender. It's a covenant we make with God. It comes out of a place of surrender. It's a covenant we make with God. The word surrender is to give up, abandon, or relinquish, to give up the power and control to another. I'm going to give up the control over my life. And listen, now I'll tell you one thing. That is one of the hardest things to do, is to give up the control over our life. Every single one of us in this place wants to have control over our own life. And I want to talk to you today, because as you get older, you will understand that you really don't have control anyway. Yeah. When I was young, I wanted to have control over my life and over my destiny. And I hear my young people at my house, and I hear, and look, there's nothing wrong with where that's being birthed from. It's from a place of saying, I want to do something with my life. And that's good. That's good to have some goals and to have some purpose for your life. But remember that your goals and purpose is only going to come to fruition as a child of God when you surrender that to the Lord. Because the dreams that you have in you ought to be the dreams that God puts in you. And when you understand that you're having God dreams, and those dreams, that they're your dreams, but they're co-laboring with God. And so when you say, God, I cannot achieve this until I give up control over my life, and your word is going to direct every single avenue. The word covenant is an agreement, usually a formal agreement between two or more persons to do or not do something specifically. And so when we come into covenant with God, we say, God, we're going to obey your word. Your word is going to be the very thing that lights the path of our life. And we're going to absorb this word, and we're going to live in this word. We're going to obey this word. And as we surrender our lives to God, and then we say, God, you are completely in control. This is a covenant relationship with God. Now, we live in a world that's neither surrendered nor does it like covenant. We live in a world that likes to be in control over their own lives. They don't like to be surrendered, and they surely do not like covenant, because covenant says that I'm going to be committed to something. And I want to change that word from commitment, not just being committed, but being faithful to something. And as I want to tie into last week, To be faithful. I've heard some things said about covenant that I don't particularly agree with. Covenant does not mean if you fail that you're forever over with. Covenant means that I have my heart set on doing the right thing. And if I fail, I don't leave the covenant I made, but I respond to obedience to God. I repent of my sin, and I get back on the path that I said I would do. Amen. Come on, anybody with me this morning? I am in covenant relationship with my wife. I've not always done the right things in our marriage, but I am in covenant relationship. So when I make a mistake in my covenant relationship with my bride, I don't quit and abandon it. I stay on task to say, hey, look, I need to fix this matter that's in my life, and I need to surrender my control to the Lord so that He can help me to overcome my situation I'm in and bring me back into order of where He has me. Can I get a better amen? I'm in covenant with God. I'm in covenant with this relationship with Him. And if I fail in my covenant relationship with Him, I don't abandon the covenant, but I repent and come into order with it. Now, I don't want you to think that covenant doesn't mean something, because it's very important that we understand that covenants are, that's a big word. Not just a lot of letters, that's a big word. And when we make covenants, it ought to be in our heart that we're going to fulfill that covenant we make. We shouldn't make covenants just, haphazardly. But at the same time, we should live under this grace and mercy and purpose of God in our life, that we understand that our covenant is our faithfulness to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. Come on, let's give God praise right now. We're like children who hold on to their toys, and we say, this is another thing you don't have to teach a kid. Mine. Mine. How many's got little babies, and you see them, and it's so cute when they go, mine. And we laugh at that, but when they get about 14 and they say that, we want to beat them. Amen. It's so cute when they're little, and they're little tiny, and they're saying, mine, mine. We like, oh, get the camera out. That's so cute. You see, there's this attitude that we're born with that I want what's mine, and I'm going to hold on to what's mine, and this is mine, my life. But when we understand that, when we say this life is not mine, it's not my own, I've been bought with a price, this life does not even belong to me. Oh, you know, you didn't get that. You got it, but you didn't get it. Because when you get that and you get the understanding that this life doesn't belong to me, that it belongs to God, then all of a sudden, everything that you struggle with to trying to keep those relationship covenant and surrender to God is so much easier when you don't feel like you have to control it. Most of the problems we have in our relationship with God is because we're holding on to something that we need to say, God, this belongs to you. When you live for God easy, it's easy. Somebody said, well, it's so hard to live for God. Yeah, because you're saying mine, 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 mine. And we grow up, mine. You're still saying mine. You went from baby to grown up hollering mine. And God's saying, no, not yours. It's mine. It was bought with a price. And I can make your life really easy if you'll just surrender. We even hold on to things when it's broken and worn out. I remember a friend that came to preach for us one time, and they was their daughter was very young at the time, and she's a grown up, going to college now, but she had this little, what was it called? Whoopi. How did you know the story I was going to tell? We must be one. She had this little Whoopi. It was a little rabbit or something. I don't know what it was. And she left this thing at our house. Now, I'm telling you, the neck was falling off of it. It was stuff. The stuffing was coming out of it. It was worn out. It was dirty. It was nasty. We had to put the Whoopi in the mail and ship it to them. I'm like, won't you buy the kid a new Whoopi? No, that won't work. We've bought her new ones, and she will not have anything to do with the new whoobies. She wants to hold on to the little whoobie that she got when she was a baby, and she's been carrying. She's 6 years old now, and she's still carrying around this whoobie. And you're laughing today, but we carry around things that God says, "Why don't you hand that to me, because I'll give you something that's really new, and it's refreshed. And the stuffing's not coming out of it, and it's better than the one you had before, and you can grow up a little bit and let go of Whoopi." But we're holding on to it, and we often think we're being obedient when we don't do something. You know, religion is full of what we don't do. But grace is full of what we do. Now, I'm not, don't get crazy on me about what I'm about to say. I still believe in the Ten Commandments. But we live sometimes in the Ten Commandments of the I don't do, instead of living in the grace of God about what we can do. And so we're holding on to our whoopee about what I don't do, but you're not doing what God's called you to do. You'll get that later. Obedience is sometimes doing what God says do, not what we don't do. But if I'm not really surrendered, we're only saved at face value. I got the don't do's down, but I don't have the understanding of obedience to God about where He's carrying me. And so we cannot see who God's created us to be. It's because we're simply living in what I don't do instead of who He created me to be. And obedience to His word. You know, and so oftentimes I know that I've been this kid sometimes in my life that we're doing what we think we should do because it's expected of us, but we're not doing it really. So when we're sitting down, because we've been asked to sit down, but we're still standing up inside. Well, let me preach about that a little bit. Okay, God, I'm going to do this because everybody's looking at me, and they're going to expect this out of me, and so I'm going to do the don't do, but inside of me, I'm standing up because I don't want to be sitting down. I don't really want to be doing this. I really don't want to do this, God. I'm doing it because I don't want the pastor to think I'm rebellious. I'm doing this because it's expected of me. I'm doing this, but inside of me, I really don't want to do it. You know what? Just go ahead and stand up. Just go ahead and stand up. Because as long as you're sitting down, all of a sudden you're going to get accustomed to this idea of the don't do, and you're not going to understand that, like, you know what? I'm surrendered. This is awesome sitting down. Come on. I'm doing this out of a love for God and out of my heart and out of the obedience to the word of God, and I'm passionate surrendered to the Lord. Does that make any sense today? Yes. Matthew 23. I'm trying to hurry. What's the first word? Whoa. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. For you tithe the mint. Got stopped, choked up here. And dill and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. Let me read that again. You've denied the weightier matters of the law, which is justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You strain out the gnat, but you swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup, the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, you clean the inside of the cup and the plate, and the outside will be clean also. You strain out the gnat, but you swallow the camel. You do the things that are expected of you, but you go your life and you clean the outside because you want everyone to think, man, I got it all together. But inside, your heart's not surrendered. You're still standing up. Inside, the outside is like, oh, everybody thinks that she or he is a saint of God. But inside, there's this war going on of a lack of surrender. Come on. Let me tell you something today that you probably already know. You're not fooling anybody. And the only person that you're fooling is yourself. And the only thing that you're doing is you're building a wall between you and the greatest thing in your life, and that's the Father, who wants to put you in his arms and cover you and take care of you and love on you. And it's not because he's left you. It's because you're standing away from him. And the cool thing about that is that the moment you decide, like, you know what, God, I'm going to be obedient to your word and I'm going to surrender to you, he just grabs you up, puts his arms around you, and life goes great. But it comes from a place of surrender. You strain out the gnat, but you swallow the camel. You worry about the, you take the time. And I remember when I first read that, I was like, well, what in the world does that mean years ago? And in the Old Testament, in the scripture, I'm sorry, they had, you know, their wine and they covered it with cheesecloth. They didn't have refrigeration, but sometimes the gnats would get into the wine, and so they would take a cheesecloth and they would pour the wine through the cheesecloth so that it would strain out the bugs that got into it. You strain out those little things, but then you turn around and you swallow the big things. And you live your life about what I don't do instead of what I should do. What we are really is what we are inwardly. You know, my daddy always told me, he said, what you do when nobody's looking is who you really are. When nobody's around, when you think you're not going to get busted, that's who you really are. He said, your word I've put in my heart that I, what? Might impress people, Lord. No, Lord, so that I might not sin against you. It's you that I'm concerned with. John 15:3. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. I'll get it, spit it out in a minute. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh man, I got this together, man. I got this whole living for God thing down. I got you, man. I could do this with my eyes closed. Man, I got this, bro. I've been doing this so long. I got it. Listen, without this word, and without time in his presence, without this place of abiding, I can do nothing. And you can be a big tree that produces no fruit. But when you abide in him and he abides in you, you bear much fruit. I wish I would have took time to put this on the screen, but just imagine with me, there's three roots down inside, below, beneath the ground, and there's the ground level, And we see oftentimes you see this big, beautiful tree, but beneath it is this root system that we don't see. And Jesus said, I was tempted at all points like you are, but without sin. There's only three sins. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's only three sins there are. Out of those three sins produces sinful fruit. Right? So, you know, we always, as Christians, we have these comparisons. If you're an adulteress, we'll stone you, but if you're a liar, we'll embrace you. It's getting quiet in here. Well, I just told a white lie. It was necessary because if I didn't lie, I was going to have to pay more taxes. So I needed to lie just a little bit to save money. But I'm not like her. She's an adulteress. But Jesus said, who among you can cast the first stone? Because he understood that it's a root issue, not a fruit issue. Now let's flip that. Inside there's a root issue of spiritual gifts as well. And when you're deep and abiding in his word, you produce the fruit of the Spirit. So I can't be sweet on my own. I am not nice. In case you don't know that, by my own nature, I'm not nice. And so I have to have, neither are you. And so by my own nature, I'm not nice. If you go amen, I'm going to amen back. And so, but when I live in abiding places, I produce his fruit. Can I get a better amen? Can I get a better amen? So when I live my life abiding in his word, abiding in his presence, abiding in his goodness, abiding in his mercy, abiding in his joy, abiding in his and the things of the Spirit, then I will produce the fruit of the Spirit. But if my life beneath the ground surface where nobody sees is separate, and I'm living in the lust of the flesh, and I'm living in the lust of the eye, and I'm living in the pride of life, I will produce a sinful nature. Now, how much easier is that? That's just about as easy as it gets to understand. What's beneath the surface always shows up in the tree. Now, you can fake it till you make it, but only for a little while. Because eventually, the right person will shake your tree. And whatever fruit you're producing will fall out. And it usually will be the person that you're closest to that will shake your tree. Amen. Come on, somebody. You know, it's interesting how God put us together. And April and I pick on each other, but it's interesting how God put us together is because he put us together to help us produce right fruit. Amen. Amen that. Come on. Amen. Come on, high five on that, girl. And he created us individually with a great design. And I talked about last week, you're an original. And he has original things for your life. But he uses other people to help refine the goodness in your life. And they come along sometimes and shake the tree. So there can be a little fruit inspection go on. Well, let me move on. So when we abide in him, we produce goodness. This is a good word. Scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. What time is it? Obedience is better than sacrifice. I love that this light is so bright, I cannot see the clock. That's awesome. I can just keep preaching. So obedience is better than sacrifice. And you know, and it was the king who was coming back from the, and God had given him instruction to go kill everything. Don't. When you go and take the land, I want you to kill everything. Kill the women, kill the kids, kill the men, kill the flock, kill it all. And here he comes back, and he's got a herd of animals with him, and they're all, meh, meh. And the prophet shows up and says, what are you doing? Now, this is how people who don't abide do. But I'm going to use this for the Lord. I'm going to, I kept these little lambs because I'm going to offer them up as a sacrifice before the Lord. Well, I didn't tell you to bring a sacrifice for the Lord. I told you to kill everything. Destroy it. Somebody ought to say, don't get spiritual on me. Because we get spiritual about what we don't do instead of what we are supposed to do. I don't go to bars. Well, I don't commit adultery. Well, I don't do this. But what did God tell you to do? Oh, did He tell you to help this little person you saw at the gas station the other day, and you looked in your wallet and you had $10 left, and that's all you had, and you said, oh, well, they're on their own today. Oh, Lord. But I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I never miss church, and I always put in the offering plate. But what do you do that He tells you to do? I'm saving this $10 for the offering on Sunday, but He told you to give it away. This is my sacrifice. No, He didn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. Let me finish up. Deuteronomy 28. I don't know if I want to read all this, but it says, and if you're faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that He has commanded you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it goes on, and you can read this at home. This is your homework. Go home, read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13. He talks about all the blessings that will come in your life if you do what I've commanded you to do today. Romans tells us those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we want to be obedient sons and daughters of God. So not only do we want to do what this says, but we want to be sensitive to the gift of the Holy Spirit that's in our life to be obedient to what He's saying to do today. But what He will tell you to do today will always reflect with where you've been in your relationship and your abiding place with Him. And we go back to that passage of Scripture. He said the purest form of religion, the purest form of obedience, is to take care of the orphans and the widows. That's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Matthew 25 talks about when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. That's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And oftentimes we're trying to make the commandments maybe suggestions. And maybe we say, well, it would be good if you did that, but if you don't, God's grace will cover you. But are you living in the blessing that you could live in if you were living in the obedience of God? Well, are you saying, Pastor, if I don't do that, I'm going to hell? I'm not your righteous judge. But I am saying this. If you're doing it, His word says you'll be blessed. Now, do you want to be blessed? How many wants to be blessed? How many here would like to be have your barns overflowing and have your life full of joy and have all of those things that the Word of God tells us? It's real simple. Just surrender and be obedient. And follow the work of the Holy Spirit that He's doing in your life.